Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're taking a deep dive into launching a new venture. We've got your notes on starting a new venture right here. We're going to break down all those crucial steps from the initial spark of an idea to building a brand that can actually thrive.
You know, that first idea, that light bulb moment, it's exhilarating. But honestly, so many startups, they just don't make it. And a lot of times, it's because they don't solve a real problem that people actually have.
So you're saying it's more than just having like a cool product or service. You've got to make sure it actually meets a need in the market.
Exactly. Imagine there's this gap between what people want and what's out there. Right. Your business.
Yeah.
It needs to bridge that gap. Think about Dollar Shave Club. People were fed up with crazy expensive razors. So they came up with this simple, affordable subscription and boom. Took the market by storm.
Oh, that's a perfect example. They didn't reinvent the razor itself. They reinvented how people buy them.
Yeah.
So how do you figure out if your idea has that Dollar Shave Club potential, you know?
You got to validate it. Talk to your target audience, those people you want to reach. Run surveys. Do your market research. And I don't just mean asking your friends and family if they'd buy it. You need data. You need to understand the competition. Who are your potential customers? Is there even demand for what you're offering?
Okay, so let's say you've done that research, you've talked to potential customers, and you're feeling good, there's a market, what's next?
Time to create a roadmap, your business plan. This is where you really dive deep into your vision, the strategy, the nitty-gritty details of making this thing a success.
Now, I know some people, they think business plans are just for impressing investors or something, but I'm guessing it's more than that, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. A business plan, it's your guide, your playbook for the whole journey. It forces you to think through every single aspect of your business, from your target market to your revenue projections, your marketing, even potential challenges down the road. Mm-hmm. A well-crafted business plan attracts investors, sure, but it also keeps you focused, keeps you organized as you navigate, you know, all the twists and turns of starting a business.
Okay, let's break down those essential pieces of a solid business plan. Where do you even start?
You start with the executive summary. It's like your elevator pitch, you know, a concise overview of your business, your goals, and why you're going to be successful. Think of it as the hook.
Yeah.
You've got to grab the reader's attention and make them want to learn more.
Got it. So after you've hooked them with the executive summary, what's next?
You dive into your market analysis. This is where you show off all that research we talked about. Who are your competitors? What are they doing well? Where are their weaknesses? Who are your ideal customers? Where do they hang out, online and offline? The more you know about your market, the better equipped you'll be to position your business for success.
So this is where all that legwork really pays off.
100%.
Yeah.
Then comes the part a lot of entrepreneurs find, well, intimidating. Financial projections. This is where you show that your business can make money, that it's viable. You outline your startup costs, your projected revenue, your profit margins. It's all about the numbers.
I've heard investors, they pay close attention to these projections. Are there any red flags they look out for in this section?
Unrealistic revenue forecasts. That's a big one. I've seen so many business plans with these overly optimistic numbers, not grounded in reality at all. Investors, they also want to see a clear understanding of your costs, both fixed and variable. Underestimating expenses. That's a common mistake that can really derail a promising business.
So it's better to be, well, conservative, realistic with your financial projections than to try and wow investors with inflated numbers.
Absolutely. Investors, yeah. They want to see that you've done your research, that you understand the financial realities.
Okay, let's say you've got a great executive summary, a thorough market analysis, realistic financial projections. What else?
Your marketing strategy. This is how you reach your target audience, how you build your brand and ultimately drive sales. You define your brand voice, your key messages, your marketing channels, your budget.
So we're talking about everything from social media and content marketing to like traditional advertising and PR.
Exactly. And while a strong marketing plan is essential, you also need to consider the legal structure of your business. This decision, it can have big implications for your liability, your taxes, how you operate day to day.
I know there are a few main options, like a sole proprietorship, an LLC, and a corporation. Can you give us a quick rundown of the pros and cons of each?
Sure. A sole proprietorship. It's the simplest, easy to set up, but it offers zero legal separation between you and your business. That means your personal assets are on the line if your business incurs debt or faces legal issues.
That's a big risk, especially for businesses in higher risk industries.
Right. An LLC, or a limited liability company, offers more protection. It creates a legal distinction between you and your business, shielding your personal assets.
So a bit more peace of mind with an LLC.
Exactly. It's a popular choice for small businesses, startups. Then we have corporations. They offer the strongest liability protection. But they're more complex to set up and manage, often a better fit for larger companies or businesses with multiple investors.
So the choice of legal structure really depends on the size, the complexity, the risk profile of the business.
Right. And it's always wise to talk to a legal professional. They can help you figure out the best structure for your specific situation.
Now, we've talked about the importance of a solid business plan, choosing the right legal structure. But all of that's meaningless if you don't have the resources to get started. So let's dive into the world of funding. Where do you even begin to look for the money to launch a business?
Well, there are more options than ever before, which is exciting, but it can also feel kind of overwhelming. One path, perhaps the most classic, is bootstrapping.
Bootstrapping, meaning you're relying on your own resources, like savings or maybe a side hustle?
Exactly. It's a slower approach, but the upside is you keep full ownership and control. You're not beholden to investors or lenders. A great example is Zappos, the online shoe retailer. They started by taking photos of shoes at local stores and posting them online. They only bought inventory once they had an order, so they minimized their initial investment.
Wow, that's a great story. They started with hustle and a good eye for opportunity. But what if you need more capital up front or you want to grow faster than bootstrapping allows?
Then you might consider crowdfunding. Platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, they let you pitch your idea directly to a community of potential backers. It's not just about raising money, it's about building a community around your product or service, all before you even launch.
I've seen some pretty incredible crowdfunding successes, people raising millions for, honestly, things I never even knew I needed. But I also know a lot of campaigns, they just fall flat. What separates the hits from the misses?
A good story, a compelling story. You need to connect with people emotionally, not just explain what your product does. A great video, something that showcases your passion, explains the problem you're solving. That can make all the difference. And don't underestimate rewards. Offering early bird discounts, limited editions, unique experiences, those can really incentivize people to back your project.
It's like you're pre-selling your product, building excitement, and getting feedback all at the same time. But what if you're aiming even bigger, like growth beyond what crowdfunding can typically achieve?
Then you might be ready to explore angel investors or venture capitalists. These are individuals or firms that invest in high-growth startups in exchange for equity.
So it's not just about the money. It's about bringing on partners with experience and connections, people who can really help your business scale.
Right. But remember, giving up equity means giving up some control. You'll need to be prepared to answer to your investors and make decisions collaboratively. A great example is Airbnb. They struggled to raise funds initially, but they eventually got funding from a venture capitalist who believed in their vision. That investment, it helped them scale like crazy and become the global company they are today.
That's a good reminder that even wildly successful businesses, they face rejection at some point. It's all part of the process. Now, I know getting funding from investors can be incredibly tough. What about more traditional routes, like small business loans?
Loans can be a good option, but they're not easy to get, especially for new businesses. Lenders, they want to see a solid business plan, strong financial projections, and often some collateral.
So again, it's not just about having a good idea. It's about proving you can execute and manage finances responsibly. Any tips for, well, increasing your chances of getting a loan?
Definitely. Shop around for the best rates and terms. Don't just go with the first lender you talk to. And be prepared. Be ready to answer their questions thoroughly and confidently. Practice your pitch. Be ready to explain your business model, target market, financial projections in detail.
Sounds like preparation is key when it comes to securing funding, no matter which route you choose.
Preparation is key to everything in entrepreneurship, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Now, even with funding secured, there's another make or break element. Building the right team. I imagine finding those right people, especially in the early stages, can be a real challenge.
Oh, it can be. But it starts with honesty. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where do you excel? And where could you use some support? Maybe you're a marketing whiz, but numbers make your head spin. In that case, a co-founder or early team member with a strong financial background, that could be crucial.
So self-awareness is key. Recognizing your limitations and finding people who complement your skills. But finding the right people is just the first step, right? How do you create a team that actually works well together, one that's motivated and productive?
Building a strong team culture is essential. This goes beyond just skills and experience. You need people who share your vision, your values, your work ethic.
I've heard some entrepreneurs say that finding the right cultural fit, it's even more important than technical skills. Would you agree?
To a large extent, yes. Skills, those can be learned. But shared values, a sense of purpose, those are much harder to instill. When your team is aligned on a deeper level, that's when you get that synergy. And that can really propel your business forward.
It sounds like finding people who are passionate about your mission. That's a key ingredient for success. But I imagine hiring, especially early on, can be a financial burden. Are there alternative solutions for businesses that aren't quite ready to bring on full-time employees?
Absolutely. Freelancers and consultants can be amazing resources. They offer specialized skills and flexibility, but without the overhead of full-time employees.
So you could hire a freelance graphic designer to create your logo and website, a freelance writer for your marketing materials, a consultant to help you develop your sales strategy, all without committing to long-term salaries and benefits.
Exactly. It's a great way to access top talent on a project basis. And don't underestimate the power of mentors and advisors. These are experienced individuals who can provide guidance, support, and those all-important connections.
It's like having a seasoned guide to help you navigate, well, the entrepreneurial jungle. How do you even find these mentors and advisors?
Networking is key. Attend industry events, join online communities, reach out to people you admire. And remember, mentorship is a two-way street. Be ready to offer value in return, whether it's your time, your skills, or even just your enthusiasm.
So building your team is about more than just filling roles. It's about creating a network of support and guidance. Now, you've got your team in place, you're funded, and you're ready to launch. But with so many businesses vying for attention, how do you make yours stand out?
That's where branding and marketing come in. Think of your brand as your business's personality. It's how you communicate your values, your story, what makes you unique. It's how you communicate all of that to the world.
But building a strong brand, that can feel like this big abstract concept. Where do you even begin?
You start with your target audience.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to reach? What do they need? What do they want? What are their pain points? Once you understand your audience, you can create a brand identity that speaks directly to them.
So it's about more than just a catchy logo or a clever tagline.
Way more. It's about creating a consistent experience across everything you do. Your website, your social media, your customer service, even your packaging. Think about brands like Apple or Nike. They've created powerful identities, ones that evoke emotion and build loyalty.
I can definitely see how a strong brand can really create that connection with customers. But once you have that brand identity, how do you get the word out? How do you reach those people and convince them to choose your product or service over the competition?
That's where your marketing strategy comes into play. And in today's digital world, there are so many channels and tactics to consider. Content marketing is a great place to start. Creating valuable blog posts, videos, social media content. Content that educates, engages your audience. That can help build trust and establish you as an expert.
I've heard people say content marketing is about giving, not just selling.
It is. It's about providing value to your audience, answering their questions, solving their problems, even entertaining them. When you consistently deliver high-quality content, you position yourself as a thought leader and attract potential customers organically.
It's about building relationships, not just transactions. But content marketing is just one piece of the puzzle, right? What other marketing strategies should entrepreneurs be thinking about?
Social media. Essential for reaching your audience and building that community around your brand. And don't underestimate email marketing. Building an email list, sending regular newsletters, that can be a super effective way to nurture relationships and drive sales.
Email still matters. I thought with all the social media platforms, email was becoming a thing of the past.
Social media is incredibly powerful, yes. But with email, you build a direct connection with your audience. You own your email list. Unlike social media, where algorithms can change on a dime and limit your reach.
It's about building your own platform, not just relying on someone else's. But with so many marketing options, it can be tough to know where to focus your efforts. Any tips for navigating the ever-changing world of marketing?
Experimentation. Don't be afraid to try different things, analyze your results, see what works best for you. And remember, marketing is an ongoing process, not a one-time event. You got to consistently create great content, engage with your audience, and adapt as the market changes.
So building a successful business is about more than just a great product or service. It's about understanding your market, creating a strong brand, and a marketing strategy that connects with your audience. But even with all of that, there's one more crucial piece that can make or break a business, the customer experience.
You're absolutely right. Happy customers, they're your best advocates. They're the ones singing your praises, recommending your products or services. They come back for more.
So how do you create those exceptional customer experiences that turn buyers into loyal fans? What are those key
Well,
ingredients?
first and foremost, you have to deliver on your promises, your product or service. It needs to be high quality. It needs to solve the problem you claim it solves. If you overpromise and underdeliver, you're going to lose trust fast.
Makes sense. So quality product or service, that's the foundation. Then what?
Then you need to go above and beyond with customer service. Be responsive, be helpful, be empathetic. Put yourself in your customer's shoes. How would you want to be treated?
I think people can really tell when a business genuinely cares about its customers.
Oh, absolutely. It shows in every interaction, whether it's a quick email reply or a personalized thank you note.
Now, I've heard a lot about the importance of getting customer feedback. How do you actually use that feedback to improve?
You listen, first and foremost. You take the time to understand your customers' experiences, both good and bad. You can collect feedback through surveys, social media, online reviews, even just casual conversations with your customers.
So you're constantly gathering information, looking for ways to improve.
Exactly. And then you actually use that feedback to make changes. Tweak your products or services, streamline your processes, improve your customer support.
It's a continuous loop of learning and improvement.
It is. And that's what sets apart the businesses that thrive in the long run.
So we've covered a lot today. We've talked about validating your idea, building a team, crafting a marketing strategy, and of course, delivering those exceptional customer experiences.
And remember, starting a business, it's a journey, not a destination.
It's going to be full of challenges, but also incredibly rewarding.
If you're passionate about your idea, if you're willing to put in the work,
Yeah.
the possibilities are endless.
Now, I know this deep dive has been packed with information, but before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought, something to really ponder as you embark on your entrepreneurial journey. What unique value can you bring to the market? What problem can you solve? What need can you fulfill better than anyone else? Think about that. And until next time, keep those entrepreneurial dreams alive.
Delivering on your promises, that's huge.
It makes sense. So, a quality product or service, that's the foundation. What else?
Customer service. You need to go above and beyond. Be responsive, helpful, empathetic. Really put yourself in your customer's shoes. How would you want to be treated?
Yeah, I think people can really tell when a business genuinely cares.
Oh, they can. It
Yeah.
shows in every interaction,
Right.
whether it's a quick email or even like a personalized thank you note.
Now, I've heard so much about getting customer feedback. How do you actually use that feedback to get better?
First, you listen. You really take the time to understand their experiences, both good and bad. You can collect feedback through surveys, social media, online reviews, even just talking to your customers directly.
So you're always gathering information, always looking for ways to improve.
Exactly. And then, the important part, you use that feedback to make actual changes. You tweak your products or services, streamline processes, improve your customer support.
It's this constant loop of learning and improvement.
It is, and that's what helps businesses thrive over time.
So we've talked about validating your idea, building your team, marketing, and now delivering those amazing customer
And
experiences.
it's important to remember, starting a business, it's a journey. It's not about reaching some final destination.
It's going to be full of challenges, for sure, but also incredibly rewarding.
If you're passionate, if you're willing to put in the work, there's so much potential.
We've covered a lot in this deep dive. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with something to think about. As you go on your own entrepreneurial journey, what unique value can you bring to the market? What problem are you solving? What need are you fulfilling better than anyone else? Really think about that. And until next time, keep those entrepreneurial dreams alive. Okay, so we're back for the final part of this deep dive into launching a new venture. We've talked about all the practical stuff, validating your idea, building your team, marketing. But now I kind of want to shift gears a bit. Let's talk about, I guess, the less tangible stuff, the mindset, the habits of those entrepreneurs who really make it.
Yeah, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? You can have the best idea, a perfect plan, but if you don't have the right mindset, those inevitable challenges, they can really knock you off course.
So, what kind of mindset are we talking about here? What separates those who, well, persevere from those who give up?
It's something called a growth mindset. It's that belief that your abilities, they can be developed through hard work, dedication. You're not limited by what you know right now. You see challenges as opportunities to learn, to get better.
So instead of saying, I'm not good at this, you say, I'm not good at this yet.
Exactly. It's about seeing those setbacks, not as failures, but as stepping stones. Think about Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. No experience in fashion or retail, But she had an idea and this incredible drive, faced tons of rejection, but she just kept going, kept learning. And now Spanx is a billion-dollar company.
Wow, that's inspiring. Shows you don't need to be an expert to start, right? It's more about that willingness to learn and adapt as you go. But a growth mindset, that's just one piece.
What other qualities, habits do you think are important for success as an entrepreneur?
Resilience, for sure. Starting a business, it's like a roller coaster. There are going to be ups and downs, wins and losses. You got to be able to bounce back from those setbacks, learn from your mistakes, and keep moving forward. You're talking about grit, right? That ability to just keep going, even when things are tough.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times, grit comes from passion. When you really believe in what you're doing, it gives you the fuel to push through those tough times.
Entrepreneurship, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Right?
Absolutely. And to run a marathon, you need endurance. That's where self-discipline comes in. You need to manage your time, prioritize, stay focused on your goals, even when there are distractions everywhere.
It's like being your own boss, but also your own best employee, holding yourself accountable.
Exactly. And while discipline is crucial, don't forget about creativity. Entrepreneurship is all about solving problems, creating value. You need to think outside the box, come up with innovative solutions, see opportunity where others might just see roadblocks.
So challenge the status quo. Find those new and better ways of doing things. But even with all of this, I imagine entrepreneurship can feel pretty isolating at times. You're often wearing a lot of hats, making tough decisions, feeling that pressure to succeed.
Oh, it can be. That's why having a strong network is so important. Connect with other entrepreneurs, mentors, advisors, potential collaborators. Surround yourself with people who get it, who understand the challenges and the rewards.
It's about building that support system, sharing ideas, learning from each other.
Exactly. Yep. And remember, you don't have to do this alone. There are so many resources, communities, people out there who are ready to help you.
So we've covered a lot in this deep dive, from the practical steps to the mindset and habits that lead to success.
We talked about the power of a growth mindset, resilience, self-discipline, creativity, and the importance of building that network of support.
And as we wrap up, I just want to leave you with this. Entrepreneurship, it's a journey.
It's a path with challenges, rewards, setbacks, triumphs.
But it can lead to incredible fulfillment, both personally and professionally.
It can.
So if you have that idea you're passionate about, don't be afraid to take the leap. Believe in yourself, find your people, and never stop learning.
The world needs your ideas. Go make them happen.
And that's a wrap on this deep dive into launching a new venture. We'll see you next time.